I'd originally intended to move from Plato to either Aristotle or Mencius, both of them being major figures in political thought. But then it struck me, there's a bridge between Plato, Aristotle, there's a bridge between Confucius and Mencius. And there's a space that I'm not occupying here, and that is the space of traditional Indian thought. Now, there are a couple of Indian thinkers, but the first and perhaps most important of these is the author of the Bhagavad Gita. The Bhagavad Gita is a religious text. It is one of the most important texts in the collection of beliefs that we call Hinduism. And the importance of the Bhagavad Gita is that it is about duty. Now, to sum it up, we have a king, Arjuna, who is facing a rebellion from among his kindred. He is leading his army into battle when he stands on his chariot, ready to begin. But then he drops his bow, turns to his charioteer, the god Krishna, and says, "How can I face my kindred? How can I attack them? This is blood of my blood." And Krishna then adjures him to pay attention to the thing that matters. It is not that he should be concerned with what harm he may bring to his kinfolk. He should be concerned with what his obligations are to his subjects, to his state, to all those who depend on him. Not only for immediate sustenance, but also for their security and stability. This is an important and unbelievably crucial fact of political life that we tend to overlook because it seems to be axiomatic. But we tend to talk most of the time about rights, about limitations on power, but we don't talk so much about obligations. And obligations are necessary things. We need to have obligations to tie ourselves, not just to the states under which we live, but also to our fellow citizens, to our fellow human beings. We have to recognize not just our humanity in our fellow human beings, but also our particularity. And by particularity, I don't mean that we recognize our specific individual selves in our fellow humans, though that's undoubtedly a large part of it, but our particularities as members of specific groups, and in particular our particularities as members of groups that share a common history, common language, common culture. That is, particularity as fellow nationals. Now, there are traditions going back a long way. For example, Confucius expresses a nationalist position in a couple of places. And this is important to understand. But the Bhagavad Gita is not so much about political nationalism as it is about obligation of ruler to ruled. And that is a political question of a different kind. It's a political question that says, I, as king, must do these things for my people. The people have obligations to the ruler. They have to serve at his command. They have to form part of his army. They have to pay his taxes. But they are doing all these things so that they may receive the benefits of rule, the security to be able to live decent lives, the guarantee that in emergencies there will be someone who will be behind them to hold them up. These are not minor things. And we pay our rulers in money, in deference, in security. We expect to receive back from them not so much the money or the deference, but security for ourselves. We expect to receive a good life. And central to the question of politics, what is politics for? Why do we have it? Is the matter of the good life. Because we engage in politics, we engage in the conflict of each day, we engage in the cooperation of each day, simply in order to ensure that we can have each of us, jointly and individually, the best life available to us. So, one of the ways we begin to approach the good life is by recognizing that each of us has a duty towards each other of us, and that we collectively have a duty to all of us collectively, and that we individually have a duty to each of us individually, and that individually we have a duty to each of us collectively. The collectivity has duties towards the individual has duties towards the collectivity and the individual are tied together, and they are tied together by a network of obligation. And the obligations flow side to side and up and down. They are a three-dimensional mesh, and we cannot do without them. We are situated within this network of obligations, within this three-dimensional grid and structure of obligations, and it is what holds us up, what holds us together, what keeps us in place throughout our lives. It is what we are born into, and it is what we depart from. And in the interim, it is a large part of who we are, as well as where and what we are. And this is really all I wanted to say here. So I'll stop now, and we'll continue with more regular individual philosophers later.